to thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you because everyone is stirred up in faith and power to do all that your word says we should do. Father, we receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Slap a neighbor a high five and take your seat this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Right. Mark chapter 16. Let's begin from Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Hallelujah. We've been on a series on evangelism. And we've been able to explain as much as is necessary to understand what evangelism is. And don't forget, like we said, the reason why we're teaching two things. One, that our hearts are inspired unto evangelism, amen. And then number two, that we gain understanding. And you know, in Christianity, when you gain understanding in a thing, when it's time to practice, you are effective in your practice. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so that's what we've been doing. And we are saying that every now and then so that we know and are certain that, of course, we know evangelism is an act, or an art, as we say. And no matter all we learn, if we do not go out to preach, you know, it will not be useful. Remember, it takes a man to believe when the message is what? Oh, have you been around? I was expecting a very loud chorus answer. It takes a man to believe when the message is hallelujah. So when there is no preaching, there is no salvation. Isn't it that simple? Amen. You can't pray someone to be saved. No. The best you can do is pray a preacher to someone to be saved. Hallelujah. Come on, are you there? So, a man must still preach. Look at Romans chapter 10. We'll come back to Matthew 28. Well, hope we come back. Romans chapter 10. We read that earlier in this teaching. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So it's written in scripture that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Of course, we know the Lord is mighty to save. Isaiah 50 verse 2, Isaiah 59 verse 1. The hand of the Lord is not shorting that he cannot save, that he cannot redeem. Okay? So, scripture tells us that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the question then arises from verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Okay? So it actually means to call on him is to believe on him. Hallelujah. So how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? So, if you do not hear, you cannot believe. Well, according to Romans 10, you cannot call upon him, right? And if you can't, you can't be saved, right? It then says, how shall they hear without a preacher? So, if there is no preacher, you cannot hear. And if you cannot hear, you cannot believe. And if you cannot believe, you can't be saved. Hallelujah. So it is very important that there is a preacher preaching the message. Verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring what? Glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it calls the gospel of peace. That is the gospel of oneness or the gospel of reconciliation. And it says, glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah. When we go out to preach the gospel, you know, we don't preach the gospel that is good to God. Amen. You remember that? Neither do we preach the gospel that is good to us alone. As preachers. No. We preach the gospel that brings to the hearer glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah. It brings to the hearer good things. Praise God. If the gospel you preach does not have goodies for the hearer, then perhaps it is not the gospel. I said perhaps. Praise God. Perhaps it is not the gospel. Okay. So, there must be a preacher. Of course, he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? They be sent. And we must be able to clear that before somebody pitches a tent. That, well, see what the Bible says. Except you are sent. You cannot be a preacher. Okay? Because it is until you are sent that you are able to preach, and then someone is able to hear, and then someone is able to believe, and then someone is able to be saved. Don't forget, these questions were built up from verse 13, based on the scripture that was quoted. Are we together? Are you there? Based on the scripture that was quoted. So, it's key for a preacher. Let's move on. Let's get back to Matthew 28. So, there must be a preacher. And the message of the preacher must be a reward of good tidings. Remember the definition of gospel? Evangelion? Come on, are we in church today? We have never been in church this early. I think I'll change church service. It's now 8 a.m. Hallelujah. So if you like come late, you just discover that you're a dwarf spiritually. Hallelujah. So Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and said and spake unto them, saying, all power, that is all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He then says, on the basis of what I said, go ye and teach all nations, or make students out of every nation, or make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. You can take all that I said now to mean one word, teach. Okay? Come on. So, we can even read it like this. Go ye therefore in all the world. Sorry, that's Mark 16. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. Oh, you're not in church. Okay, sorry. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. It just means teach. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, and amen. So, if we look at this, it says, I have all authority, that's Jesus, and then he says, you go and preach. You go and preach. If you are sensible enough, you'd realize that is not where I have authority. Remember the example I usually give. There are thieves around. I'm the one with the M16, and I say, you guys go and take care of the thieves. Okay? You know, you say, well, it's either you give us the M16 or you go out and face them yourself. Hallelujah. You know, that's not what it means here. You know, here you have Jesus raised from the dead, quite all right, and is with his disciples on the earth. But something has not happened. that men are yet to receive the indwelling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Men here are yet to receive the indwelling of the Spirit. So, what Jesus was saying was a whole lot. It wasn't, I have power, you go and try it. No. He was saying a whole lot. He was saying that I died for sins, I was buried, I've been raised from the dead now, made to sit at the right hand of God the Father. You will now go on the basis of that. Now, is that saying, this has happened to me, but you, just go on the basis of what has happened to me? Of course not. You get into trouble. So he then says, of course go. Which now lets us know, we don't have time to go through scripture, precept on precept to explain that. That when he said, all power, that is all authority in heaven and on earth, and then he said, you go, he was already pointing to the fact that, well, this had not happened, that I'm giving you a future instruction. We'll get to Mark and see it now. That it will happen that you also will be seated where I am. Hallelujah. On the basis of that, you will then go. Because that authority is in heaven, in earth, and underneath the earth. It is that authority that you will require to make students out of every nation. The gospel is not an academic message. Yes, we need to explain, we need to teach, but see, the gospel is the power of God to save. Hallelujah. The gospel is the power of God to save. So, he was saying, I have all authority now, you will soon have it as well. When you have it, go. Is that okay? Look at Mark 16. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So you see that it was a future instruction. I have all authority now. You will go, and when you go, that is, when you have all authority, you will go. And when you go, you preach, those who believe be saved, and those who refuse the message be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe, in my name shall cast out devils, shall speak with new tongues, shall take up serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, he shall not hurt them. He shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. Remember, I told you, and sat on the right hand of God, that what Matthew mentioned first, that all power is given unto me. And he now says, therefore go. What Matthew mentioned first, as touching the authority, Mark mentioned it after. And that's why he said, after he had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's what Matthew meant by all power is given unto me. All authority. Hallelujah. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Come on. Amen. Okay. So, there must be a preacher, and then we're trying to clarify being sent. Now, you must recognize that for a believer today, you are sent already. Hallelujah. The only requirement to be sent is to be saved. Are you there? Because if you look at what Matthew said and what Mark said, Jesus was saying that the requirement to be sent is to be seated where I am seated. Come on. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Let's read from 4-6. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it be of Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the fourth day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached, where? In his name. In his name. In his name there will refer to his authority. Hebrews 1 and 4, is it verse 4? Being made so much better than they, as yet by inheritance, obtained what? A more excellent name than they. Philippians 2, 8, 9 and 10. I think 9 and 10. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. That's authority. So the name of Jesus is our authority. The name of Jesus is his authority. So he says that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached where? Or how? In his name. Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. You see, it's getting clearer now. So, the requirement to be sent is to be saved. Hallelujah. The requirement to be sent is to be saved. So, as believers that we are, we have a responsibility, a duty, a commandment to preach the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. And all things are of God. Of course, he already said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then he says, all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had what? Committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Do you know that, you know, that's actually a repetition. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a repetition. In verse 18 he said, he has given unto us the ministry, that is the duty, the administration, the work of reconciliation. He now explains to you what he says. He now says, he has committed unto you the word of reconciliation. So, if he has committed unto you the message of reconciliation, that's the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay? Because if you see what we've been saying so far, there must be a preacher, and the preacher must preach the message for the hearer to hear, and the hearer would have to hear to believe. He must hear. Don't forget, we explain from Bible the meaning of evangelism, taken from the word, or coined from the word evangelist. And we explain the word evangelist, that it is incomplete if the gospel is absent. Because the meaning of that word is to put together the gospel and preacher. That's how that word came about. It's a combination of gospel, euangelion, and preacher. Hallelujah. Okay? So we have a duty, we have a responsibility to reconcile men. How are we going to go about it? Not by prayer? Now, don't get me wrong. I did not say prayer is useless. How many of you know, I think it was on Tuesday, we emphasized the essence of prayer. Okay? You don't depend on your own strength. You don't depend on your own words. You know, the Bible says, this is Zechariah now, not by might, not by power, but what? By my spirit, says the Lord. That is, you don't devise human means. You don't cook up strategies to do the things of God. It will forever be by the Spirit. So there is of utmost importance that we realize that we need to pray. We need to pray. You know, to preach, you need to pray. Hallelujah. You need to pray that when you speak God's word, it is heard as it is God's word. Hallelujah. But you don't preach by praying. That's what I'm saying. Amen. Who do you pray to? The unbeliever or God? Are you in church? Okay. So, you don't pray and you keep praying in your closet that someone be saved. As a matter of fact, if that is a sinner and I'm here praying, it is, you know, just the way we said that if your church needs money and the first thing you are doing is praying, what's that? Huh? Pastor said it's a sin. Amen. Why? Because it's money we need. Dip your hands in your pocket and do what? Get it out. That prayer is an opportunity not to give. Then you start hearing the Lord said, an angel appeared unto me and said, don't give this money. Keep it and use it to nourish your body. For the Lord is glorified when his temple is nourished. Hallelujah. So lovely. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, when you need to preach, you preach. Don't start praying. Father, let my community be saved. Everybody, from my next door neighbor to my landlord, let them be saved. As you pray that to God, God will pray back to you. He will say, I beseech you. I beg of you, let them be saved. Hallelujah. So, the ministry of reconciliation is done by preaching. Because the message has been committed to us. The message has been committed to us so that we can preach it to others. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, every believer is sent to preach the gospel. Every believer has been committed the word or the ministry of reconciliation, which is to be committed or for the word of reconciliation to be committed to your hands. Verse 20 now says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Verse 21, let's read together. 1, 2, go. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Now that's the message. We can never overemphasize the message. That's the message. It must be very clear. We have cleared it in this series that the gospel is a universal message. It's for all men. Whether location is different, whether economic or social status is different, whether male or female, whatever it is, all men have been concluded on the scene. And we have seen that sin is man's biggest problem. And the gospel took care of that. Now, the preacher, we have also said that in this series, that the preacher must be strong on the message. He must emphasize the message first to himself. He must be excited about the message. He must be strong on the message for himself. He must realize what the message. Remember, we looked at what's it called? Mark 16. And then he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues and all that. So we said that those signs are the signs of he that believes, right? So the preacher must be strong on that because I have believed, these signs follow me. Then number two, it must also be strong for the hearer. Hallelujah. That if you preach the message now and someone believes, you must be convinced enough for the one that just got saved that these signs accompany him. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, and if your prayer life and your study life and the kind of church you go is what gives you confidence as touching the signs that follow you, you would find it difficult to say the same to the sinner that just got saved. Because what has he prayed? He may never have been to church. How many of you have had opportunities to preach the gospel to people? They got saved before you and you had to ask, is it my message or you have been saved before? Did my message explain to you that you have been saved, or you just got saved now as I preached? We must be strong. We must be emphatic on the message. It helps us as we preach. Hallelujah. It helps us as we preach. You know, understanding has made some of us, when we went to preach, we were able to actually convince those who felt they were not saved and have been saved. And those who we preached to and acknowledged the message and felt they are still not saved, I've been able to convince them, no, there's no other requirement. Just acknowledge that this has been done on your behalf, and that's it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say the message is free for all men, and we'll preach it freely for all men. Hallelujah. Or to all men. Okay. So, the message is of most importance. But I also want to talk about something today, which will be the signs that accompany the message. Look at Mark 16. Of course, we've laid proper foundation already this morning. But see, Mark 16, let's read again from verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, very particular, to every creature. Now, he that believes the gospel, right, and is baptized shall be saved. Don't forget, believe and baptize are one and the same. Okay? Not two steps to be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. He that refuses the gospel shall be damned. Now, 17 now says, and this sign shall accompany them that believe. Them that believe. A sign here is a supernatural indication. A supernatural indication. You know, when you have a signboard, what do you have? You have something written on it, maybe like we have downstairs, TBC Center, the Baptizing Church, Ibadan. And then write all the address and everywhere you can find us. That is a sign. That sign is to point, to people this venue. Or better still, to point to people our assembly. Of course, we assemble here, so by extension, to this venue. So, that's a sign. Now, this sign is a supernatural indication. It says there are signs. There are signs. You know, you may want to, by observation, look at someone and say, how do I know this guy is saved? Okay? How many of you know that once you find someone speaking with tongues, it's almost safe to assume that the person is born again. Now, I didn't say the kind of tongues that you hear, you know, on TV, where someone we know is not born again is acting as a Christian in a movie and is saying, Santara, 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 Santara. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that once we can find tongues in your mouth, then you are saved. No. I'm saying that only saved people speak with tongues. Praise God. Only saved people speak with tongues. Only. Hallelujah. Okay. So, these signs accompany them that... So, in other words, someone who is saved, don't forget, we have said, one who is saved is one who has acknowledged the death and resurrection of Christ, is now seated at the right hand of God. That's the place where no authority is greater than. Is there, seated. So, he says such a person has signs. Why? Because of his new status. Because of his new nature. Signs accompany him. One, he says, cast out a devil. That immediately tells you about his authority. His authority. That a devil can have illegal occupancy somewhere, and you come because you are a son of God, that is, you are seated in the place of all authority. You say, out! Leave that place. Get out. Go away. Just imagine, don't let me say puppy, because some people may hug the puppy. A goat, a kid goat, comes into church. What are you going to do? The usher has to get it out. Okay? Or maybe it's at the door, trying to put the head inside. Just, get out. You know, so, because you see yourself, of course, human being, then this is a goat, then goats are not needed here. Okay? So, you have no right here, and I have a right to say you should go. So, get out. That's what it means to cast out a demon. Okay? Not because you did black and white fasting for 40 days, and then you saw the heavens, the eighth heaven. Okay? And then you came back, you had several gists with Jesus, and gave the Father a hug, and then you came back and said, wow, no. It's because your nature is now that in Christ. Okay? So you can cast out a demon, you can speak with new tongues, you can take up serpents, I told you, not snakes, serpents. Alright? That will be the works of darkness. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, see what verse 20 says. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word. What? With signs following. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the message was preached, signs and wonders accompanied it. As the message was preached, signs and wonders accompanied it. So he says, the Lord working. So it's not a function of, like I said, don't see evangelism like that. God said go, so we're just going. See, as they went, there was an effectual working. The Lord working with, I believe the word there is energio, effective working. As they preached, the signs of the message showed up. What's the message? Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. And what happened? God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. So, as you preach that God raised Christ from the dead, the power that raised Christ from the dead is available as you preach. Hallelujah. Are you here? Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. I hope I don't need a reminder. Unless I think I have 2 hours. Hebrews 2, verse 4. It says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts, that is, distributions of the Holy Ghost. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and distribution of the Holy Ghost. If you read from verse 1, it says, therefore we ought to give mercy to the things which are ahead, lest at any time we should let them sleep. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, receive the just recompense of reward. It now says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first beginning was spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard? On the basis of that, God also bearing their witness. So, as they presented the message, God bore witness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why are we saying this? So that you can expect signs, wonders, as you pray in preparation to preach, and as you preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I expect signs and wonders in my preaching. Look at Ephesians 1. Sorry, before Ephesians 1, go to Acts 1. Verse 8. Because Jesus already said, you should wait for the promise of the Father, which he had of me, and says, if you don't want to be baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days ends. And then they asked a question, and then he answered them very nicely. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So when they received the Holy Ghost, Jesus said they will receive abilities. Abilities. And this is not to be seen this way. That you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming on you, and then you shall be witnesses in the sense of going here and there. What it is saying here is that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will be a witness. I didn't say you will become one. Of course, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will now start going about to preach, which, is still okay. But what he's saying here is to let you know that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will be a proof that Jesus died, rose again, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Are you there? Okay, now we'll come back to that. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Time is jumping. Ephesians 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. Now don't forget, Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God, right? 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 The gospel is the power of God, right? Huh? So we start this again. The gospel is what? Why are you saying it many times? You're not sure? Hallelujah. Paul said it is the power of God to save. Okay? Why is it the power of God to save? Because that message, that news, speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which was done to save. So it was done to save. As you preach, it is the power to save. Are you there? So, don't forget that. So, Paul now says in Ephesians 1:19 that the exceeding greatness of his power to us what we believe is according to the working of his mighty power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So, this, like we said some time ago, what were we teaching on? Power, right? But we started with this, that Paul wasn't trying to really teach on power. Paul was teaching salvation. I don't know if you remember that. Amen. But he used, knowing that it was power that raised Christ from the dead, it was the power of God that raised him from the dead, he now explained the magnitude of the power. He lets you know that power raised Christ from the dead and did what? Set him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above. Amen. It's like you someone wants to bless you financially, and then you have a bank account and you need money for business, maybe 5 million, and someone wants to bless you financially, and he says, okay, I'll do the job. In other words, he certified you that he will send the 5 million to you. Now, what will you be naturally expecting? That money gets to your account, that you are able to withdraw and spend. Now, the person now does not only transfer money to your account, because prior to that time, you have an account with the bank. He not only transfers money enough to do the business, he now changes the name of the bank to your name. And puts in so much money that when CBN is out of business, you will be the one to borrow them money. Now, imagine that. Would it ever cross your mind that your business may not succeed? I mean, the 5 million naira business. As a matter of fact, your head should start thinking business higher than, in fact, you just quit the business you were trying to do first and think on some levels. You don't know the amount we are talking about. So that was what Paul was explaining here. Trying to explain to you what brought you salvation, or how the salvation came about. Are we together? So he says, you need to know the exceeding greatness, the surpassing magnitude of the power that saved you. He not only raised you from the dead, he set you at the right hand of the Father, far above, and then he begins to explain. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the power of God has walked towards you. Hallelujah. Praise God. The power of God has walked towards you. When the gospel was preached, the power to save raised you from the dead and set you at the right hand of God, far above principalities and powers and might and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, what God did in Christ, you know, like we were saying some time ago, that Paul sounded this way because he was able to have a glimpse of what Jesus did for us. It's like, you meet one far uncle of yours that you have not known, and you realize he's so wealthy. So, so wealthy. That you have seen wealthy people like Dangote, Mike Adenuga, and the likes. I remember when they were going to take back stolen funds from Abacha family. Abacha family said, even if they take the looted funds from us, we will still not be as poor as Dangote. I don't understand what that is. Hallelujah. That they stole so much, they became rich. Hallelujah. So, you want to explain the wealth of that your uncle. And then you look around, you say, Dangote, $21 billion. So, how much is it now? Is it 14? My Kadinu Ga. And, you know, you look around and there's no language to quantify his own. You now say he's, you know, when we say that guy is stinkingly rich, you know, he's not smelling. You are just trying to say, for me to say he's rich does not carry the weight of his wealth. That guy has bastard money. Okay? So, he comes here, so rather than just say the power of God towards you, he says, you don't get it. The exceeding greatness of his power. Bible scholars tell us, you don't see those two words put together anywhere in the Bible. They are two. Exceeding is okay. Greatness is okay. Now, saying exceeding greatness, you must be quantifying something that you yourself don't know the quantity. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, I'm sure you're beginning to understand when we say that the message is everything. The message is key. The message is of most importance. Now, just follow. So, the power of God has worked towards you in that He raised you from the dead, set you at the right hand of God, that it is impossible for you to have a reversal of what happened to you. Amen? Look at Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, see what He says here. He says, God is able to do, brings such words again together. Exceeding abundantly. I mean, abundantly is enough. Exceeding is enough. Now, I told you that if you don't understand Ephesians 1:19 down to 23, you won't understand Ephesians 3:20. You would think he's saying he's able to do more than you can ask in prayer. Well, we can factor that in. But that's not what he's saying. Who saved you? God. Hallelujah. So, he has told you already what he did. He has explained to you the magnitude of his power to save. He now reminds you of that person that saved you. He that is able to do exceeding abundantly. It's as though what you needed to do for us is to save us from sin. But he didn't stop there. He raised you from the dead. The same power now sets you at the right hand of God. Far above principality and man. You understand? Like the example we made. You just need 5 million. You are not only given that money. The bank is chained to your name. Hallelujah. So he now reminds you of the God that saved. Unto him. Sorry. That is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that worketh in you. In other words, there's nothing you can ask that is greater than being raised from the dead and set at the right hand of God. So he reminds you of that. He says, God is able to do according to the power that works in you. Say the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead and set him at the right hand of the Father. Come on and set him at the right hand of the Father is at work in me. Say the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead and set him at the right hand of the Father is at work in me. One more time. The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead and set him at the right hand of the Father is at work in me. Hallelujah! So, it lets you realize this. It lets you recognize this. That the message you preach, the power that you make available is already at work in you. Are you there? Are you there? Look at 2 Corinthians. I think wherever time just holds me, I'll just stop. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Hallelujah. That word sufficiency means competence. What does competence mean? You need a secretary in your establishment, and what do you say? I need a competent secretary. You need a driver to drive you around town while you do business. What do you say? I need a competent driver. You have a case with somebody who is trying to take your property and it's rightfully yours. What do you say? I need a competent lawyer. Hallelujah. What do you mean by competence? Someone who is equal to the task. Right? Someone who is able to do the task that is required of him. Someone who will not fail. Someone who will not make silly mistakes and cost one his life or whatever. So he says, us, God is our competence. Amen. How can I go out and preach and get people healed? God is your competence. Huh? How can I get many people saved all at once? God is your competence. How can I raise the dead? God is your competence. Hallelujah. God is your competence. God is your competence. That's what he's saying. God is your competence. It's like you have an exam and you're about to write and you know, everybody says the exam is tough and all that. A competent one writing the exam is one that can answer all the questions, right? That is able to sit, no matter how hard they draft the questions, is able to sit down and answer everything correctly. Now, the competence may be as a result of night studies, consistent reading, 8 hours every day, just reading and studying, watching the right things, having the best of coaching crews and all that. And by the time such a one visits the exam hall, is able to answer correctly. Now, you may want to say that that person's competence will have to do with the school he attended or he attends, the kind of coaching crew he has, right? You point out all those advantages he has. That is why he's able to do exam like this and get in jam 400 over 100. Hallelujah. But here he's saying that God is your competence. Hallelujah. God is your competence. So you need not look on yourself. You are not sufficient. You look on God, your competence. Whatever task is required of you as a man in Christ, God is your competence. So we say, God is my competence. Now see the import of that, verse 6. Who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killed, but the Spirit gives life. So you see here, he made you a minister of the New Testament. Now, he adds the word able. So he has made us capable ministers of the New Testament. Why? Because God is your competence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, it's as though Paul is saying, if God were to come on the earth and dwell, as a being, the same results he can get, you can. You see, that man has raised many people from the dead in his meetings. He just goes to them, he lays hands, and then he breathes life into them, and they jerk up. And then you say things like that, and for some people you now say, what if it were Jesus ministering? They say, ah, Jesus. He does not even have to touch the dead body. In fact, he will not even need to say anything to the dead body. He will just like, and the person will rise from the dead. Oh, you just say, okay, what if God were in this place and he wants to get people filled with the Holy Ghost? How will he do it? People say, what? God? He will just say, ha! Now, that confidence that you have in him because he's God, he has told you that he, the Almighty God, is your competence. Praise God. Is your competence. Okay, so we see that the power of God is at work in us. We are not just coolers carrying a message. Okay? Amen. We are the first proof of the message. The message has raised us from the dead. The power contained in the message has worked toward us and is working in us. Amen. So, if you have a duty, a responsibility to preach, never forget that. Yes, you have the message. The message is the power, let me say it again, is the only power to say, hallelujah. But you, as the preacher, also recognize that the message has worked towards you. You have a nature that can do as God can do. So you are not going about to preach denomination gospel to convince someone to join your church, and you just wonder, why the person joined? Well, I don't know. Maybe I dressed well. I greeted the person well. No. Gospel is quite clear. So, you not only are a preacher of the message, you are, to the sinner, the first proof of the message. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, now, let's quickly do something. I hope. Okay, just do something for me. Just play softly on the keyboard. Let me know, I'm closing. Acts chapter 1, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The word power here is dunamis. And you shall be witnesses, that you shall be a proof, a record, an evidence unto me. That's what he said there. Both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and all the uttermost part of the earth. Now look at Acts 2. When the Pentecost fully came, they were all one according to one place. Suddenly there came some from heaven, was a rush from the wind, and filled all the house where they were seated. And their appeared unto them clothed with tongues as fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, you see that what Jesus spoke about, that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That is abilities. One of the abilities we see here, which is utterance. Utterance is ability to speak. Amen? So, it came, and, there was tongues and interpretation, and the people wondered what that was, and Peter preached. Praise God. Peter preached the message of Christ to them from verse 22 all the way down, and it was recorded in verse 41 that they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. If you look at Acts chapter 3, we just want to scroll through the book of Acts, not in so much details, but here and there. Acts 3, Peter and John were on their way to the temple. They had an hour of prayer. It was a night hour. And what happened? They met the man by the beautiful gate who was lame. And Peter looked on him and said, Stephen, go to thine own, the soldier will argue thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I don't know if you know that in Acts 2, you know, to be able to get 3,000 souls to be saved, not necessarily the number, but the number is a part of it. But to get a man saved, I don't know if you know, it takes the power in the gospel for a man to be saved. Okay? So here, they were just going to pray, and then they saw that a man was sick, and then it was lameness from birth. And what happened? That which they have received in Christ, they ministered the same unto that man, and he was healed. If you look at verse 16, okay, from verse 11, you know, folks were greatly wondering that this guy was healed. And Peter explained himself and said, don't marvel at us, why look earnestly on us, as though by our own power and holiness we made this man to walk. Well, and then he began to preach and all that. He says, Pilate determined to let him go, but the Holy One was denied, and then he was killed, but God raised him from the dead. And see what he says, whereof we are witnesses, that is, proofs of that resurrection from the dead. And his name through faith in his name had made his man strong, which you now see and know, yea, the faith of him had given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, they were headed to pray, and seeing that a man was sick and recognizing that I have what it takes to get this man healed because of Jesus who died and rose again, they got the man healed. And when they got the man healed, an attention came on them. What did he do? He preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. Look at Acts 4:33. You know, they commanded them not to preach in the name of Jesus. But they said, we cannot go speak the things we have seen and heard. And then they did stuff to them. Then they went back to their own company. And then they prayed. And the ground was shaking. And then they said, the ground was shaking where the place where they were, was shaking where they were assembled together. That's verse 31 now. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed with one heart and one soul, neither said anyone. And so on, verse 33. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. If you look at chapter 5, verse 12, and by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest of Solomon joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by, hallelujah, might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. How many? Come on, are you there? Look at this one, you know. They said, we can leave the world, God's at table, get seven men of honor support among you, that we would give ourselves a prayer in the midst of the world. And then they brought seven men, listed their names, verse 6, whom they said before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did what great wonders and miracles among the people. Look at Acts 8.
Philip, when there was persecution in Judea, in Jerusalem, yeah, departed to Samaria, and see what it says. Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with what I call gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and the many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. As the message brings the good news that sin has been dealt with, the consequences have also been dealt with. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he preached the gospel. Men got saved. He also healed their diseases. He also cast out demons that were tormenting them. And what did the Bible record? There was great joy in that city. Verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding what? The miracles and signs which were done. See, we're not talking about just some small, small power. You know, we're talking about tangible power. There was a man called the great power of God. You know, for a city to just call a man the great power of God. And it was not from God anything. Hallelujah. But it was called the great power of God. But what happened? As Philip showed up, as he preached the message. Hallelujah. As he made the power of God available. It caused unclean spirits to leave bodies, to leave persons. He healed their sick. There was miracles, signs, wonders. Even that which was called the great power of God. Paid obeisance to the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, see, the message is key. The message is primary. Let me just stop here. If you see Peter in Acts 9, we'll just continue from here. The message is key. The message is primary. If you remember when Peter healed the lame man, and they were asking, how would you, you know, they were looking on them like, oh, man of God. Peter said, how do you look on us as though by own power and all holiness were able to do this? And then he said it was his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Has made this man strong. But do you know what? Before he was able to say that, he presented the message. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. As we preach the gospel, yes, what we are particular about is the message. And we must be particular about it. You know, it's easy for you to go out on evangelism, and then you raise someone from the dead, or you cast out a demon, you know, a no man man, get the person healed, or, you know, you just lay hands and a lame leg or amputated one just came out. You know, it's just easy to get distracted and I say, oh, glory to God. You know, if those people are sinners, yes, they got healed, but if they never have opportunity to hear the gospel to be saved, what would happen? They will enjoy health on this earth, and it's even possible that they become sick again, and they would spend their eternity in hell. So which has more weight? Which has more gravity? The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. As we go about preaching, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. Making it clear that God does not impute sin to any man in Christ. Hallelujah. I mean, God does not in Christ impute sin to any man. Hallelujah. We'll go about preaching, telling everyone, say, this is the good message. This is the good news. This is the free gift of God to mankind. But folks, as we go about that, it is our right and privilege that signs accompany our preaching and our teaching. Hallelujah. Signs, wonders, miracles. Let me tell you what they are for. Imagine you in jeans, flat shoe, just show up somewhere, just say, I want to preach to you about the love of Jesus. You see, he died, he rose again, and you're just talking and the person is looking at you, first of all sizes you up, just say, look at you. He doesn't know the problems I have. If I ask for 1,000 naira now, the message will disappear. And the person is just sizing you up, just looking at you. And just thinking, okay, they just send them out in their church to go and reach people. As a matter of fact, maybe he even wants me to come to their church on Sunday and he's just thinking and all that. And you just let him know that somebody is in your house right now. He's on the bed. He cannot walk. Take me there now. And then you go there, you lay hands, the person gets healed. You think he will size you up? Well, he will size you up. The size will be bigger now. Hallelujah. So, the signs, the miracles, will bring attraction to you. But, you haven't been taught, and you have understanding, you will not take advantage of the glory. You will not take advantage of the, how do we say it now? Whatever. What would you do? You will point the people to the message. Peter immediately did that. Not that he was trying to say we are sinners saved by grace, or we are nothing in your sight, or we are pencils in the hands of the Creator. No. That's not what he was trying to say. He was just saying, don't look at us, look at the message. Look at the message. Look at the message. The essence of this demonstration is that you hear the gospel and be saved. Hallelujah. But folks, I came to stir your heart up. While you are praying, preparing to preach, expect signs and wonders. Tell yourself, as I go to preach, I want to know things supernaturally. I want to see things supernaturally. Many have been preached to. Many have been saved by that. You just tell them things that only them and God knows. You say, truly God sent you. Ha! Hallelujah. And when the message is preached, that ear will listen. And once you are able to hear it, the good news as it is, man will believe. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I stir you up this morning that we can also have power outreaches. Power outreaches. Demonstrating the message that we preach. A power outreach is a demonstration of the message. A demonstration of the message. A demonstration of the message. We can go all out looking for the sick. We can go all out looking for the deaf. We can go all out looking for the blind. We can go all out looking for the dead. We can go all out looking for the demon oppressed. Praise God. I thought he said signs accompany you. You shall pursue the works of darkness and nothing will hurt you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, signs accompany us. So we say signs accompany me. As I preach and teach, the power of the gospel is present with me. The power of the gospel is present with me. In my activities, the power of God is made obvious. And it is able to accomplish any task. Pray in other tongues.